Where did the Bible come from? Well, every child of God knows that the Bible came from God. He puts that implicit trust in us. So we know that the Bible is the Word of God. So this morning I'd like to look at some passages that tell us that and that tell us how He gave it to man. Very sadly, there are theologians in the world today, pastors and other people that call themselves Christians, and as they speak about the Bible or about the history that's in the Bible or the stories, you can hear in their speech that they don't really trust the Bible as coming from God, or that the history is perfectly accurate. And again, only God opens the eyes of a believer to the fact that the Bible did come from Him, and it is all we have to know about our relationship with God and about salvation. Let me start again just to read from Proverbs 22 again, just verse 17 to 21. Proverbs 22, verse 17 to 21 says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsel and knowledge?" Again, only a child of God is given a trust in the Word of God. We could look at a couple verses that tell us that. In Acts 24, the Apostle Paul has come back to Jerusalem, and now he's being tried before the Jews and before the Roman rulers of Israel. But in Acts 24, verse 14, we read, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." And the law and the prophets at that time would have been the Old Testament, the Bible. Or we could turn to John chapter 2, the Gospel of John chapter 2. This is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And in verse 22 of John 2, we read, "When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." Okay, let's turn to 2 Peter now, chapter 1. Passage, verse that certainly many of you are familiar with, but this will be a base for this study. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 16. This is the Apostle Peter now writing and speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we should get into the habit of always saying that, rather than say, well, the Apostle Paul said this, or Haggai said this, or Samuel said this. It's a good thing for us and those that are hearing us to always emphasize that the Apostle Paul or anyone was speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 of 2 Peter 1. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Now he's speaking about the Bible. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Turn back to Micah chapter 3. Just as one example of this principle. In Micah chapter 3, verse 8, these are the words of Micah now, as he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 8, Micah chapter 3, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment, and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin." This is how it works. These men were driven by the Spirit of God to say and to write the things that they do, which composed the Bible. Turn to Matthew 1. These verses are all through the Bible, but we miss them if we read without care, or we read too quickly. Matthew 1, this is speaking of the birth of Jesus. Speaking now of Joseph, when he found out that Mary was with child. In verse 20 of Matthew 1, we read, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child." And then he quotes from Isaiah 7, which was anticipating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at that there, verse 22. "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet." It was the Lord speaking, but he used men to speak these words and to write these words. Okay, let's look at 2 Timothy 3, another well-known passage that speaks about how the Scriptures are the inspired Word of God. Second Timothy chapter 3, let me start in verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that word inspiration there actually means that it was breathed out by God and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Just as John 3:16 is the Word of God and is profitable for instruction and correction and such, so is Daniel 12, or so is the book of Haggai, or the book of Zechariah, or the book of Revelation. It's all from God, and it's all to be studied for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why did God give us the Bible? Why did He give us this written book? Because we have to hear the Word of God to be saved, and the Bible tells us that in Romans 10, verse 17. In Romans 10, let me start at verse 13. We read, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for he saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Our faith comes through hearing the word of God. God works through that to save an individual. And he has told us that he would raise up teachers, but they would teach only through his word. Turn back to Romans 1. just speaking of the Word of God and how it is the Word of God that saves. We read in verse 16 of Romans 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And speaking again of teachers, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me read verse 1 and 2. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." This is the way God sends the gospel out into the world. He raises up teachers. He opens the eyes of some to the truth of the Bible, and they go on and teach others. So how did he give us this word? Well, he spoke to different men, the writers of the different books of the Bible. Turn to Jeremiah 36. We'll see an example of this. But all through the Bible, you'll read where God said to Moses or to Joshua, "Write this in a book." But here in Jeremiah 36, let me start in verse 1. Jeremiah 36. "And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him, upon a roll of a book." Jeremiah was shut up in prison. He couldn't, they probably didn't give out stationery back then. Verse 5 says, "And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou, and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people." And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Delaiah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people." You see how it's going down the line? Verse 14 says, "Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushai, unto Baruch, saying, Take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, Sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid both one and another, and said unto Baruch, We will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. And it goes on, and Baruch goes and he reads these words to the king, and the king just mocks it. And as each page is completed, he takes a penknife, cuts it up, and throws it into the fire. But this is the way, this is just one example of how God gave the scriptures to man. We must also pay attention to how the emphasis that the Lord Jesus puts on the scriptures. He repeatedly refers to the scriptures as he speaks to Israel and to the rulers in Israel. If you work with a concordance, look up the word written or write or read. And you'll see all these verses that say, as it is written, as it is written, as it is written, placing extreme importance on the Bible. Just turn to Matthew 22 for an example of this. In Matthew 22, this is when the Pharisees came to, this is when the Sadducees came to Christ, questioning him about the resurrection. And they set up this situation about a man that had six or seven brothers. Yeah, he had seven brothers, and each one of them died. And each one, the next brother, would take the wife to be his wife. And then in verse 27 of Matthew 22, it says, and last of all, the women died. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. And then we read in verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. If they had studied the scriptures, they should have known that. Turn to John 10:34. The Jews are ready to stone the Lord Jesus here. In verse 32 of John 10, we read, Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods. Now he's referring back to Psalm 82, which says that. Let me just read that, Psalm 82, verse 6. Psalm 82, verse 6 says, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. And what he's saying there, when he says ye are gods, he's telling them that they're created in the image of God. And this is why we are accountable to God. Adam and Eve were told to, they were given dominion over the animals and all the and all the earth. They were a picture of God, and Adam and Eve were a picture of God and the church. And we're all created in the image of God, and yet if we sin one sin against Him, it should be enough to cast us into hell forever. But I just wanted to bring out just a couple of verses how the Lord Jesus emphasizes the scriptures, and you read in so many places, not only in the Gospels but in the Epistles, as it is written, as it is written. In John 5 verse 39, this is one you're all familiar with again. The Lord Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And again, at that time, the scriptures were the Old Testament. He was telling them that it was all talking about him and about salvation. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Again, this is another verse that just tells us that when a person is saved, God gives that person an implicit trust in the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, we read, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And we read, for the New Testament reading, we read the words of the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in verse 11 of Galatians 1, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And the gospel he preached was set down in these different epistles. And God gave us this book. It's just an amazing, it leaves us stunned, the thought that God has given us a book that we can hold in our hands. It's like no book that man has ever written. It's the Word of God, and it tells us all we have to know about our relationship with God, about why we're here on this earth. Let me read 1 Corinthians 15. First few verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, this is the Apostle Paul, inspired by God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Excuse me. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Again, we read all through the Bible that God told us, or God would tell men, write this in a book. If you look in Exodus chapter 17. This is when the Lord had given the Israelites a victory over the Amalekites under Joshua. And in verse 14 of Exodus 17, we read, "And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." Or turn to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, starting in verse 16, "And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them. So that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel." And we go on to read the Song of Moses. It's a beautiful song recounting what God has done for the Israelites and praising God. And yet he says there that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. But he told them to write that song. You go to verse 44. In the next chapter. The song actually begins in the beginning of chapter 32. And then if you start at verse 44 of Deuteronomy 32, it says, "And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people." and Hoshea, the son of Nun, who is Joshua. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. He's directing them to God's law, all the words that he has given them. Turn to Isaiah 8. Let me read verse 1 to 5 of Isaiah 8. Isaiah 8, verse 1. Moreover, the Lord said unto me, Take thee a great roll, and write in it with a man's pen concerning Maher Shalal Hashbaz. And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record, Uriah the priest, and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, Call his name Maher Shalal Hashbaz, for before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. But he said, Take thee a great roll and write in it. These aren't Isaiah's words. We don't say, well, Isaiah said this and Isaiah wrote that. It's given to him by the Lord. And again, you can hear it taught in seminaries these days to understand what Isaiah was saying or what Micah was saying or what Haggai was saying or what the Apostle Paul was saying. You had to learn all you could about that man and get into his head. You had to understand the times he lived in and the circumstances. And that may be helpful. That may be beneficial in some ways. But that teaching is off the mark because the Bible is for everyone and it's timeless. And it's the Word of God to us. And again, God will give his people understanding and give them a trust that the Bible came from him and that it is his commandments to us. Turn back to Proverbs 22, where we read in the Old Testament. In Proverbs 22... Let me read just 17 to 21. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsel and knowledge? Now Solomon, God used Solomon to pen the book of Proverbs. But again, it's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And when we read that verse, Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? God is telling us that he has written a book about excellent things. And the excellent things spoken of there are his salvation plan. Turn to Proverbs 8. In Proverbs 8, wisdom here is speaking in the first person. And we know that Christ is the wisdom of God. It says that in 1 Corinthians 1:24. Christ, the wisdom of God. Let me read verse 1 to 6 of Proverbs 8. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. This is God telling us that the gospel goes out to the whole world. Verse 5 says, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. And again, this is the Lord Jesus, this is the Word of God, this is the Spirit of God. And as we compare Scripture with Scripture, it even teaches us, God teaches us through all this, that God and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one. He'll open our eyes to these things. If you stay there in Proverbs 8, this is just an interesting aside here. In verse 22 of Proverbs 8, we read, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old." Remember, this is wisdom speaking. "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains, abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth." Now turn to Job chapter 15. In the book of Job, we're to see the suffering of Christ as He's under God's wrath. And these three friends that came supposedly to comfort Him ended up being offended by Job's words because he continued to maintain that he was righteous. And they ended up being no comfort to him at all. Let me start in verse 1 of chapter 15. And just remember that we're to see the Lord Jesus in the book of Job. And remember those verses that we just read in Proverbs 8. Job 15:1. "Then answered Eliphaz the Temanite and said, 'Should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk or with speeches wherewith he can do no good? Yea, thou castest off fear and restrainest prayer before God. For thy mouth uttereth thine iniquity, and thou choosest the tongue of the crafty. Thine own mouth condemneth thee, and not I. Yea, thine own lips testify against me. Art thou the first man that was born, or wast thou made before the hills? Hast thou heard the secret of God, and dost thou restrain wisdom to thyself?'" And this is rhetorical, and this is speaking of Christ. And the answer to these questions actually is yes. But that's just an interesting aside. It doesn't have so much to do with the study today about where the Bible came from. But I just wanted to show you that in Job chapter 8. Do we have to worry about, are there any lost books of the Bible? Are there any books still out there that belong in the Bible? And the answer is certainly not, because it's God that put the Bible together. It was all under His control. He guided men as they collected the various books, and it was by His sovereign hand what books were put in the Bible and which ones weren't. And then it was by the guidance of God that Revelation was put at the end of the Bible, and that in Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19, we read, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Again, we have it all. We don't have to worry that there are any lost books, because it's entirely under the control of God. Let me read one reference in 2 Peter. Peter had already been made to know by God that these epistles that he was writing and that the Apostle Paul was writing would become scriptures. In 2 Peter chapter 3, let me start in verse 14. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." So Peter already at that time knew, it had been revealed to him by God that what the epistles that the Apostle Paul was writing were scriptures, and that what he was writing were scriptures. But again, the Word of God is all we have to know about our estate, our situation on this earth, and it tells us all about salvation. If we read in Psalm 119, verse 24, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Again, a child of God loves the Word of God, and they become his delight. He delights in the Word of God, and they become his counselors. In Proverbs 11:4, we read, "In the multitude of," I'm not sure where it is, "in the multitude of counselors there is safety," but the counselors are the Word of God. Or in that same psalm there, Psalm 119, turn to verse 143. Psalm 119, verse 143 and 144. "Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live." Turn to Isaiah 66. As we come to understand that this book came from God and it is the Word of God, we should tremble and fear at this, knowing that this book is not like any book that we have on earth, but that it came from God. Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2 say, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." We should tremble at the Word of God. We'll close with Psalm 138, verse 4. Again, we're all sinners. We all deserve eternal damnation, and God has been merciful to us and long-suffering. We need a Savior. We must be covered with the righteousness of Christ, or we won't stand before God in that judgment day. And whenever we speak out of the Bible, we must always speak of judgment. We must always bring the whole counsel of God. But this is the message of this book that God has given to us. And in Psalm 138, verse 4, we read, "All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth." And the words of his mouth are the Bible. In John, we read, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the words that I speak unto thee, they are spirit, and they are life." And the words that the Lord Jesus speaks to us, or God the Father, are the Bible, and in them we have our life. Shall we pray?